Thank you for calling, Professor Leavis.
F.R. Leavis?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What? The F.R. Leavis, who wrote Mass Civilization and Minority Culture?
Mm-hmm.
The F.R. Leavis who died in 1978.
Please. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Okay, let's fill folks in on the situation here now, right up top. Yeah. So my wife has left me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
I knew
where...
she was out of time, but I didn't know it was that serious. You really buried
that's what
the lead
I'm saying.
On that one. Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's left me to go to a conference in Big Sur.
Wow. She left you for a Big Sur?
For
like a big man?
Oh, I'm so stupid. She was like, honey, you're going to have to look after the kids. I'm going to Big Sur. And I was like, oh, it must be a conference in California. But now I'm realizing she is not coming back. She's gone to a Big Sur. And I'm quite a small man. I always
sort of like
what?
Mrs. Jones in this movie.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes.
Went to go see a Big Sur.
She went to go see a Big Sur. And that worked out okay for her.
Yeah, it sounds like she tried sodomy for the first time.
I guess so. We'll get into that. My wife is taking a mini break, and she's taking it without me. And so it's me.
When Sarah has fun, when she decides to get out of town and have a break and get away from the kids and the husband, she goes to a writing conference?
Yeah. Yep, that's fun for her.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I would go to a bar.
Yeah, I would probably go to I would just spend like a week in New York.
And I know what
my friends.
You're thinking, well, but this is like a 3-day affair. You wouldn't just go to a bar for 3 days, would you?
And oh, Jack would.
In fact, yes, no, I would do that.
Yeah, given the option, Jack would do that. Yeah. I'd probably join him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know what, honey, it's my time to have a mini break. I'm gonna call up Big Sur Tanner.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a bar for 3 days. Yeah. And that's my mini break. But anyway, it's me and the boys.
Yeah. Okay.
It's me and the boys, but also it's me and the lads. And the lads.
It's the three lions.
And it's the three lions. And so it's the three lions,
Jack,
me,
Cyril,
and Lewis.
And Lewis. Yeah.
But it's also the three lions because England is playing in the big match in exactly 53 minutes from now.
So this is a no whammies episode. We can't say anything that we might need to cut later, like references to sodomy or anything along those lines.
Anything like that.
Everything has to stay in.
Has to stay in. So we're going to be really careful about what we say and make sure it's all above board and also good to say.
Yeah.
And but I should say I'm dad of the year because I had 15 minutes within which to get one of the boys to sleep. Because I can do the podcast with the other boy watching his show.
Oh, okay.
But the smaller one
can't
be here. He's watching this thing that, like, he watches all, like, Lego stuff now.
We're into Legos here.
I found a thing that said it's Lego, but it's, like, it looks more like Transformers. I don't know. They've got a lot of IP. So he's watching
They're
that.
They're big.
And I didn't check.
Bionicles?
It's Bionicle.
Yeah, that's Lego.
That's a known thing. Okay, he's watching it. It's a lot of epic voiceover.
Yeah, they're Lego robots.
And it was like, content warning, fear. I was like, okay.
Wow.
Sure, I'm sure that's fine. Anyway, the boy's asleep. The other boy's watching something called content warning, fear. And I'm doing my podcast.
I did sort of the opposite of you. I'm the Sarah.
You're the Sarah.
Our household, because I just spent 3 days out of town.
At a bar.
Came back late at a funeral. Came back last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jamie, you know, was going to give Jamie kind of a day off. But then when it came time to record, right at nap time, I was like, you can put him down for
you
nap,
can
right?
Put him down,
she's
right?
Like, what
better way to spend your day off than with your favorite little boy?
Yeah.
So everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the Sarah here.
You're the Sarah.
Jamie,
so you're
you
went to
Harry
go see.
Harry parent upstairs.
Yes, she's the Harry parent upstairs. I'm sure she's going to appreciate that you called her a hairy parent.
Harried. Very.
Yeah, let's get into it. It's the show, big show, Strange Bedfellows. I'm Jack.
Tanner, Big Sur.
Yeah, and we have to keep that big pause in because we do need every second available before the boys watch the boys, and England's going to win against Senegal today. That's putting us in a place and time, and it's also showing that I am able to tell the future. Quite impressive.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll see. I hear Senegal's pretty good.
But what else is happening? Well, we watched a movie, didn't we? It's Bridget Jones.
We watched such a good movie. So you know the thing, right, where when you're more emotional when you watch a movie on an airplane?
Absolutely, and it's true.
I watched Bridget Jones's Diary on the way home from flying home from Colorado last night.
Amazing.
And I absolutely loved it. Like,
that's so nice.
I think it's an excellent film. I thought it was hilarious. I thought everyone was great in it.
Lovely.
And then I don't know if, do you feel the same way?
I love it. Yeah,
or
it's great.
Is this an airplane mood that's taken me?
I like it a lot. The one thing I'll say is that, and it's like, it's annoying when people say this, but I don't think it's annoying with Bridget Jones because it's like the same caliber of media, but I did read and love the books.
Yeah, I know it comes
when
from
I was
a
youngish man. Yeah. And so I have a particular affection for the books and have greatly enjoyed this recreation of the novel.
I expect I would love the books based on how much I liked the
they're so fun.
Like, humor of this movie.
Yeah, they're so witty and fun. And she calls everybody, what does she call them? I don't know, and I don't have time to think about it because it's a no
don't have time to think.
Episode. Yeah,
you're getting like skimming the surface of our sort of psyches today.
Yeah.
We can't dig deep.
Everything's coming straight from the top. And we should say, speaking of digging deep, much like remember when we watched Fire Island?
Oh, barely.
Well, do you remember how it's based on like an important piece of media from the past, but we didn't know what it was, and we had to figure out eventually from context clues that it's based on the great American movie American Pie?
Yeah, it was based on American Pie, right.
I think this one's based kind of loosely based on some kind of piece of media from the past as well. Like, there are context clues in it that it feels like there's something out there that it's based on. So I feel like maybe we could try to figure that out as we go along today.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Jack?
Yeah.
God, I hate to say this because I know it's no whammies.
Okay.
But my notes that I took on the airplane in airplane mode on my iPad are still up on my iPad, which is still in airplane mode.
Okay.
So you will now need to fill about 2 minutes while I run upstairs and grab my iPad.
Okay. Give me
back downstairs.
At least like
it's
a
no
topic.
Whammies.
Give me a topic or something.
Here's
what
I would
we
like
can do.
Discuss.
Here's what I'm going to do. I've got it. I'm going to talk. We're going to talk about F.R. Leavis when we get back because that comes up. And so I'll maybe just like lay the groundwork.
I obviously know who F.R. Leavis is.
Yes.
Introduce F.R. Leavis to Sex Bugs. I'll be right back.
Okay, Sex Bugs. Tanner's going to go get his iPad, and normally we'd just take a pause at this moment, but obviously it's a no whammies episode. I absolutely must watch every second of the England game, even though I know what is going to happen. They're going to beat Senegal today. But what Tanner and I are going to talk about is something that Tanner obviously knows about, and maybe not everyone who's listening does. At a moment in this television program, Bridget Jones, at the 10-minute and 30-second mark. Bridget Jones is on the phone with, I guess, a friend. I can't remember. But she tells her boss, a fib, that it's someone important, and she says that she's been on the phone with F.R. Leavis. Then Hugh Grant, the boss, says, "You mean the F.R. Leavis who died in 1978? And it's quite a funny moment. Tanner and I are going to be talking a lot about F.R. Leavis and his great debate with C.P. Snow later on in the episode. But before we get to that, I should tell you, Tanner, that my iPad is only on 2% battery. So I'm going to have to go get a plug for it so that I can kind of grab my notes. Yeah, I'll get you. This is great, actually. I've already started telling the sex bugs who don't know about F.R. Leavis about F.R. Leavis. So why don't you fill them in on the rest? I just started on telling them about the two cultures debate between him and C.P. Snow. I'm going to go grab a plug. You can fill them in on that, and then we'll just pick up when I get back.
Yeah. Okay. So F.R. Leavis, so the F.R. Stands for fucking ripped, because this dude was huge. He was like totally torn up. Must have spent every single day in the gym. And that's why he had such kind of hot head. You know, he had all that testosterone, that hot blood pumping through him. So when this CP Snow guy came out of nowhere and like started challenging him, that's when he was like, all right, man, let's do it. Let's have this like two culture, like divergent. What did you call it?
The two cultures debate with CP
Snow. So that's when they decided to have the two cultures debate, which they called
the
debate.
So you got to the debate
to sell tickets, but it was really like a fist fight.
They did get it did famously get extremely contentious. A lot of people said that Leavis was too harsh on CP Snow, just kind of in the language that he used in his lecture.
Yeah, it was like, too harsh.
It was a little bit unfair.
Yeah.
But we can get to let's table the F.R. Leavis stuff for a little bit and get back to it, because we should probably say a little bit about the movie.
The personae, so this movie is star-studded, packed.
Yeah, this is a segment that's called Dramatis Personae, or Dramatic Personae, I can't remember. But it's where we talk about who was in it. It's star-studded.
Bridget Jones
absolutely
is in
star-studded.
It, playing Bridget Jones.
Yeah, it's Bridget Jones from Bridget Jones is in this one.
Yeah, from Bridget Jones's Diary.
And Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, Bridget Jones from Jerry Maguire is in this one. Gaius Balth. What's his name? Gaius Baltar? Gaius?
I don't know. Battlestar Galactica is in this one.
Galactica Gaius.
Yeah, he's in this one.
He is sort of the guy who is like the sniveling little... Gaius Baltar. He's the sniveling little like... He sort of lets the cyborgs in and lets them kind of like get a hold on human society. And he's in this one.
What does he do in this one?
He's her gay friend.
Oh, of course. Yes.
She's got this sort of like, this little chorus that follows her around.
Yeah. And they're quite funny.
And the other one, there's another one who I didn't recognize. And then there's Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle is in this, and Mr. Darcy from Fever Pitch is in this.
Mr. Darcy from Fever Pitch is in this, and weirdly, same name.
Same name. They call him Darcy in this one. Yeah. So it's got the same name. I think that's a callback. I think for folks who didn't grow up in England, Fever Pitch is, everybody had to watch it, and it's one of the great films.
Yeah, and we watched both versions, the superior version and the inferior version.
Yeah, we watched both versions. Yeah, exactly. But giving him the name Mr. Darcy is a way of sort of just being like a callback to Fever Pitch.
What's he called, Mr. Darcy in the English Fever Pitch?
Surely. I just think he's always called that. Every movie I've seen him in, he's called Mr. Darcy. That's true. But we should figure out what this is based on.
You gotta sit and riff for a second, because I gotta see if his name was called Mr. Darcy in Fever Pitch.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, I think...
Paul Ashworth, which is...
Okay.
Close.
So Mr. Darcy from Fever Pitch is called Paul Ashworth.
Paul Ashworth.
That's confusing.
Yeah. I don't know why they made that decision. So he's in it, and then Hugh Grant.
And Hugh Grant is in this one.
Looking good.
God, what a looker. He's got hair that's like very 90s, but...
But like in a very good way. It was like flowing...
Yeah, he looks great.
Shiny.
Yeah.
It made me. I mean, it's the first time. Like, you put Colin Firth in a movie, and I'm like, oh, there he is. The perfect man, my dream boat.
Yeah.
But this is the first time you put Colin Firth in a movie, and then you put him next to Hugh Grant, and you're like, oh. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I choose door number two, please.
Yeah. So that's everyone, I think.
That's everyone in the movie. Gaius Baltar, Bridget Jones from Jerry Maguire, Mr. Darcy from Fever Pitch, and Hugh Grant.
And her mom and dad.
Oh, and Moaning Myrtle is in this one.
Yeah.
So the film is about Bridget Jones.
Yes, Bridget Jones. And she has a diary that she decides to start keeping as a New Year's resolution.
Yeah. And
she's
going to
write it every day.
She's a shambles, isn't she? A little bit. She's a little bit of a shambles.
She is a little bit of a shambles, and it's illustrated at the 2:35 mark by what I'm just going to, it's a burn heavy episode. Okay.
Yeah. It's a fairly,
so let's just say this at the top as like a disclaimer at any moment.
Burn of the week. That's right.
Could get dropped on you.
Yeah.
Because, there's just so many burns in this movie. But right at the 2:35 mark, Bridget Jones is getting ready for a party and is saying hello to her mother. And her mother says,
"Now, what are you going to put on?
She says
this.
And her mom says,
oh, don't be silly, Bridget. Never get a boyfriend if you look like you've wandered out of Auschwitz.
It's pretty fucked up.
Really devastating burn.
Super fucked
but that's,
up.
That's how much of a shambles she is.
Yeah. And I guess I'll say I only captured one burn, though. It is a very burn-heavy book. But the burn that I captured is there's a very funny scene when her, like, mean uncle, he's not actually her uncle, but he makes her
he's like a perv
uncle, and he's a kind of a pervy guy, is throwing a tots and vickers party. Do you know what that is? Do you have that in your country?
We don't even have those two things.
You don't have either tarts or vickers.
We don't have tart and vicar parties, and we don't have tarts or vickers.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's tough. So you wouldn't even know where to start.
No. And I'm trying to think of an analogous rhyme for U.S. audiences, but I can't even think of one.
It's just completely inscrutable to a U.S. audience. When I went to college in Scotland, one of the first things we did in my dorm to welcome the freshers, as we say, was to have a tarts and vickers party. So it's quite common.
And the girls dress like prostitutes and the boys dress like priests.
That's accurate. Yeah. It seems totally fine. Doesn't it?
But then for some reason, like, that same pervy uncle like pulls the rug out from under everyone.
So this is where my burn is coming from. Well, that's a burn in and of itself. He decides not to have it. He decides at the last minute that it's not going to be a tarts and vickers party.
Right, which Bridget Jones, of course, falls right into that little honeypot.
But
she's not the only one, surprisingly.
Well, so there's only two people didn't get the memo. Bridget Jones is one of the people. So she shows up dressed like a saucy Playboy bunny and is terribly embarrassed. But the burn of the week is when Bridget Jones' mom introduces her to another older lady at the party. And she says,
"Ah, Bridget, there you are. Don't worry, you're not the only one. Mrs. Penny, Geoffrey didn't get in touch with her either."
"I'm sorry?"
"I was just saying, Geoffrey didn't contact you either to tell you that the Tarts and Vickers concept had gone out of the window."
And then Penny reveals that she, in fact, had been told.
Had been told.
"Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, right. Lovely dress. Very exotic."
And it's quite funny, and it's very embarrassing. And she wasn't even dressed that tardily, but, you know, that's a burn. That's my burn. That's
quick,
my
big burn. Really quick, Jack, I have to do it. I know, I think we've done this a couple times before, but quick Salman Rushdie check.
Salman Rushdie, hello.
Hi.
The question is, what does truth mean? You may or may not know that the internet is full of completely nonsensical websites.
Let's do a quick Salman Rushdie check. Yes, okay.
Is Salman Rushdie in this sort of popular mainstream romance film? Romance comedy?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I'll write it on the board here.
Okay, yeah, write that on the board. Thank you for doing the Salman Rushdie check.
Yes, I'm actually looking back up the board. And I know I said we've spotted him.
And we've been doing it for so long that I don't know actually what the score is.
But I'm reviewing. I actually don't see him once up there on the board.
Wait,
I think this might be our first one.
A single time? We've been doing this for what, like 500 episodes now? And
I'm
this
looking
is the
up.
First
I'm looking
time?
Way up to the top of the column there.
He must have, I mean... Okay. Wow. All right. Well, that's ding, 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 everybody. Congratulations. Thanks to everybody who's been in this for the long haul with us, doing the Salman Rushdie check every week. It's become a little bit of a chore and kind of a rote task.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we stuck with it.
We'll just sort of save it for the very end and be like, yeah, it was the end. No, okay, fine. Yeah. Let's go look up Salman Rushdie's IMDb page.
Great.
How many films he's actually been in.
Won't that ruin Salman Rushdie check for the rest of our run here?
He's only been in like four movies, and for some reason, Bridget Jones's Diaries is one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the launch of Kafka's Motorbike, the greatest book of our time. Yeah. Obviously, except for your books, Mr. Rushdie, which are also very good.
I'll say this, I guess, because I feel I have to. And I'll say it with a caveat that Salman Rushdie was violently attacked recently, and I do hope that he has a healthy recovery and that he's
doing okay. Oh, yeah, me too.
But we, Sarah and I did see Salman Rushdie. We had our own Salman Rushdie check. We went and saw him speak at a bookshop in New York after his memoir, Joseph Anton, came out. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, I have never in my entire life seen anybody so fucking pompous. My goodness. And this is like, we were like, oh, Salman Rushdie. We were like, we want to go and see this guy. We're excited to hear what he has to say. And we both came out being like, what a pompous man.
Maybe he felt like he got his like down to earth Salman Rushdie moment in when he was like a centerpiece of Bridget Jones's Diary.
That must have been it.
2001. Yeah. And he's like, okay, I've done my like, I've been a man of the people. Now I can go back to being pompous.
Yeah.
I wish a full and happy recovery. I do. Salman Rushdie. It sounds like he's turning around.
Good. I'm pleased to hear that. He was attacked. That's probably all we need to say about that.
Salman Rushdie check. Let me just go down the checklist of things we need to cover off on Salman Rushdie check. Make sure we got them all. Yeah, got them. Okay, we're good.
We're done.
Yeah, I've gone through the sort of checklist of everything we talk about when we go through Salman Rushdie.
Oh, check, right. Like yes. Really big list. It's if you've ever seen like a pilot before they take off, you know, they have to like press a lot of buttons. It's very complicated, sort of, but like they know what they're doing.
Wire-bound notebook. Yeah. They kind of flip through.
And that's like us. So Salman Rushdie check. We're good to go. Everybody strap in. I hope we have a safe flight. Salman Rushdie is in this film.
Yeah.
And we haven't really said the movie.
Should we?
I don't know. Do we need to? It's her diary. Well, there's two men, and
I think what we can do is say the plot of the movie by exploring. We've done this before. We watched Fire Island.
Yeah.
It was clearly referencing something. It was a little like winky and cheeky. It's winky, like, okay, what are we based talking on about something here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the same way. And I think we can explore the plot of this film by seeing if we can find some kind of analog.
Okay, well, let me just throw this fact into the fire, and I just have to read for the first word that came into my head because it is a No Way
Episode.
And so I'm going to throw this fact into the fire.
Yeah.
And stew on this a little bit because it's quite interesting. This movie, we know that Fire Island is based on American Pie. We got to the bottom of that during our episode on Fire Island. Go back and listen if you haven't. We did prove that pretty definitively. Mm-hmm. But this movie and Fire Island do have a quote in common. They both, I noticed, because I was like, that's from Fire Island.
What, really?
Yeah. But it can't be based on American Pie like Fire Island is. And it can't be based on Fire Island because both American Pie and Fire Island, I think, came out after this.
When you said that, I started immediately trying to run through other American Pie references that might be in this movie. And I don't actually think there's a lot.
No, I don't think so.
So I don't think it is an American Pie retelling.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. This will blow your mind. Fire Island begins with one of the characters saying,
"It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife."
And it stuck in my head because I was like, that's a good fucking line.
Yeah, I'm taking that one.
Guess what? In this movie, Bridget Jones says,
"It's a truth universally acknowledged that the moment one area of your life starts going okay, another part of it falls spectacularly to pieces."
Wow. She threw that one right on the fire.
Yeah. She threw that right on the fire.
Yeah. Right at the top.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
So that's a clue, maybe.
So that's a clue that these movies have some kind of connective tissue.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just talk about the film and it'll come to us.
So Bridget Jones is an aging mess.
Okay. Well, let's be careful not to adopt the
disgusting posture that the aging mess of a woman.
She looks like hell.
Yeah.
She looks very beautiful.
She's a very beautiful lady.
It's a classic. It's one of those movies where like they're like constantly talking about how she looks like hell. And it's like hard to suspend one's disbelief because Renee Zellweger looks like a queen.
Well, and they also hammer through several times that they're like, she's 32. Okay.
Yeah, she's an absolute babe. She's 30 fucking two. She's about to die.
She's going to die. She's going to just like shrivel up soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's old. She's disgusting.
Fuckwit. And... fuckwit. That's what they call everyone in the book. Everyone's called a fuckwit. I remember. Yeah. See, no whammies.
God, it's got a real. The whole movie's got a real early 2000s vibe to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And then she starts getting sexually harassed by her boss.
Yeah, quite aggressively, in a way that would be like immediately jailable now.
Yeah,
but it's like, I think it's flirty fun. It's treated as flirty fun in the movie.
He like starts commenting on her like clothing and how sexy she
has, giving him
on public on company email.
If walking past office was attempt to demonstrate presence of skirt, can only say that it has failed parlously. Cleave.
Shut up, please. I'm very busy and important. P.S. How dare you sexually harass me in this impertinent manner?
He's her literal boss, and he's emailing her like, your clothing is giving me boners. And she's like, you can't do that. I've been to a sexual harassment training. And I didn't pay much attention, but I think one of the things they said was, don't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this movie, Hugh Grant really crosses the line, doesn't he?
In egregiously.
Yeah.
And flagrantly.
Flagrantly.
And he starts like squeezing her butt in the elevator, and they're like doing sex constantly.
Yeah, constantly doing sex, and it's quite sexy, and he's very sexy.
And then he gets invited up to the Tarts and Vickers party.
Yeah, he's a Wickham.
And bails on her.
He's a Wickham. What? He's a Wickham. I mentioned this in Fire Island, too. There's a character in Fire Island who's a Wickham. A Wickham is a technical term for a guy who... Don't look it up. We don't have time. It's for a guy who seems like they're going to be the nice love interest, but ends up not being that way.
Oh, sure. Yeah, like... A Wickham.
Like the guy in Fire Island who I also said was a Wickham.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Like the guy in Fire Island. Oh, another parallel. Interesting.
That's another parallel. That's crazy. They both have a Wickham. Yeah.
I hope this movie's just not based on Fire Island. That would be so weird.
How could it be? That would be so weird. It couldn't be. But that's a second parallel that I'm noticing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, he's a creep and they're like doing sex and he gets invited up to the party, but he bails and goes back down to London town.
Yes.
And she has to be embarrassed on her own in a bunny outfit.
Right. And she is quite
embarrassed. And she catches him having intercourse with an American.
She comes home and she's sad. And she catches him having an intercourse with an American. And is the American Moaning Myrtle?
Moaning Myrtle was one of her friends.
Moaning Myrtle is a friend. Sorry, I watched it 2 weeks ago and I've forgotten which character. I know who Moaning Myrtle is, but I forgot who played the American. It's just a random person. No, an unnamed actress.
So she's in the wind. She's on her own. She's like, she's back
she's
to
so
being
upset.
Like broke and bummed out Bridget Jones.
Yeah. And he's clearly not just started having an affair. He's been having this. If she's
they're,
Bridget
they're
Jones
engaged.
Is the affair.
Yes.
Yeah.
He and the American are engaged.
Yeah.
And she can't go back to the other male sort of character in this movie, Colin Firth.
Yeah.
Mr. Darcy from,
Fever Pitch. Yeah. But he's also called Darcy in this movie.
Yeah. He's called
Mark Darcy
in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they hate each other.
He's really stuck up towards
him. And they're childhood friends, but he's become like a stuck up barrister, which I don't even know what that means.
I think it's a kind of bear.
It's like some kind of, I thought it was like a clown or something because he wears funny outfits.
Oh, that's right. He does wear funny outfits. Maybe some kind of a clown.
Or like barrister. A role player, you know, like.
Yeah.
I went to, do you know what Meow Wolf is? I went to Meow Wolf this week and everyone was dressed like aliens and it's sort of like that.
Okay. It's like that. So it's like a LARPer, I think. A barrister. It's like someone who's like high up in the LARPing community in England.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yes.
And I think England must take it pretty seriously because
they do.
Pretty
off. The upper classes are mostly LARPers in the UK.
That's
and we take that stuff very seriously. Yeah, no, it's literally true. They wear wigs and stuff. So he's a barrister.
He can't jive with Bridget Jones's new sort of like Y2K, like new millennium energy.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. Yeah, she's shambles and he's very stuck up towards her. This would be a good time, I think, for us to take a break. I'll caution you not to pause your recorder because you and I are going to go straight back into it because there's no room for error here.
Yeah.
But for the listeners, we're going to take a quick break right now.
See you on the other side of the void. I don't even know what it's like.
Hey, everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We just experienced it, unbelievably. In that small moment, we just experienced
what the void.
What you heard is 3 minutes of us talking about a product.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We're back.
We're back. We still got more of the movie to talk about.
So here's what we have so far, and let's look for some parallels. Let's see if we can start finding some connections. Because we've got a shambles aging spinstress.
Yes.
Who has been embarrassed publicly by her sexual harassing boss.
Yes.
And cannot turn to her childhood crush because they have decided in adulthood that they hate each other.
That's right. But I've paused because my child is screaming outside, but this is all going to have to be on the show. Hey, Cyril, what's up, bud? Is there something I can help you with? The show paused. Okay, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go and turn it back on for you. Tanner, I'm going to give you some talking points. Let's see. Did you already talk about the whole of the two cultures debate? You know what? Let's skip the two cultures debate. Here's the thing about F.R. Leavis that's the famous. Yeah. So the F.R. Leavis book that is my classic that I read in high school that I absolutely loved and was with me throughout all of college is Practical Criticism.
Yeah.
So if you could talk about Practical Criticism and just like basically talk about connect Leavis because folks know about New Criticism, right?
Sure.
So if you can connect Leavis to the new critical movement in early modernism, that would be really helpful. And then basically we'll be caught up on the whole F.R. Leavis thing. I'm going to go put the show on for Cyril. I'll be back in a minute.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm just putting on some chapstick for you guys because I know this is something I'm really passionate about. So old criticism, obviously, you know what that means. Like you see a piece of media, you're like, oh, I like this or I don't like this. And you say that to the author. You say that to the public. New criticism is what we were talking about earlier. F.R. Leavis fucking ripped up Leavis, going out and just kind of punching anyone he disagrees with, just decimating anyone he disagrees with. So that's kind of the new critical movement. It's the practical criticism. You know, you're you're getting out there and you're showing how critical you are of something. So you get out there, if there's someone who says something you don't like, makes something you don't like, you know, represents anything in media that you don't like. F.R. Leavis, fucking ripped up Leavis, was encouraging you to get out there and just beat the shit out of him.
You got him covered. Caught up? You got covered. It covered. Okay, great. So is that the whole thing, or do we need to go over more new criticism?
No, I got new criticism covered. We had it, and I talked about F.R. Leavis and how he sort of influenced the movement.
Okay. And T.S. Eliot, obviously.
T.S. Eliot, yeah. Total.
It's Thomas Stearns. I'll
total, like, total shit brick house Eliot, because he's like a fucking, he was fucking huge. That dude was a fucking built.
I should say, I'm sure you covered this. While I was putting the movie on for Cyril, I remember that Practical Criticism is actually by the new critic theorist I.A. Richards, who was a friend and colleague of F.R. Leavis's, and they both worked very closely together in establishing the ground rules for new criticism. I'm sure you talked about that, but I do want to correct the record in case you didn't.
What was his name?
I.A. Richards. These guys, and it's C.P. Snow, T.S. Eliot, these motherfuckers, man. Just fucking say your name. Did you cover that?
I.A. Richards. Let me see if I can remember what his name was.
I actually don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. It was incredibly athletic, Richards, and he was also huge. He was sort of more lean, you know?
Okay.
Like, he was sort of more cut. He wasn't, like, built.
Okay, but that's not really what's important about his work. It's that he applied the new critical techniques to poetry.
I mean, it obviously influenced his work quite a bit.
Close reading of poetry without bringing in any thoughts about the biography of the writer.
Yeah, and if you don't like the writer, you just go beat the fucking shit out of him.
Okay, I don't totally get why you're talking about these guys and their physical prowess, but we don't have time to get into it. Should we say quickly at one point, I'm sure you captured this.
Okay. Do we have to do Salman Rushdie check? Oh, we did it.
We did. Oh my God. Hey, can you imagine?
I just thought we almost forgot.
In all the hustle and bustle trying to get me to the England match and get out of here before my baby wakes up, that we have forgot to do Salman Rushdie check. But we're professional pilots here.
Yeah.
at one point in the film, before Hugh Grant is revealed to be a cheater, they do a big sex. And Bridget Jones says,
"That thing you just did is actually illegal in several countries."
Yeah.
So I thought we could get to the bottom of what it was.
And they were like, in post, it seemed, I don't know.
It seems post-coital. So we don't know.
Post-coital.
Oh, we should speculate on whether it's something that's unrelated to the act of coitus.
Or if they just seemed in a post-coital state because of some action that was non-coital. Right. Like, how else do you end up naked in bed with someone sort of wrapped up in sheets and sweaty?
Oh, like committing like IP theft.
Sure.
You know? Like maybe they like, you know,
God, maybe it'd be easier to list the ways you can't end up in a bed sweaty, wrapped up in sheets with someone.
Yeah. I mean, I would if I like ripped a popular artist song and like put it on my podcast or something.
Yeah. You would do that.
I'd be like pretty sweaty evasion. After. Yeah. Tax evasion. I think it's got to be reverse 69.
Is that illegal?
I mean,
did we get to the bottom of what reverse 69ing is?
It's one of those things where it's like, if you have to ask.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I obviously know what it is. I've done it so many times. I'm really good at it.
I think it's probably illegal in a lot of countries. Not because it's like bad, but I think it could hurt you.
Yeah.
Like you'll throw your back out.
Yeah. And then for some reason they decide not only are they going to talk about Bridget Jones is doing this illegal thing. But then they decide to talk about her mom doing it too with the man that she's having an affair with, who's like a QVC host.
Her mom, who is married to Santa Claus.
Sure. He played Santa Claus?
Yeah. He plays a very famous version of Santa Claus.
Okay.
Has a tawdry affair with a overly polished, overly waxed, fake ass QVC host guy.
Yeah.
And they do reverse 69.
"I can't deny the sex is still very surprising. You know, the other night, quite unexpectedly, I was just dozing off and I felt this huge..."
"Bye, Mum."
Ugh. And they allude to her doing reverse 69 as
or
well.
Tax
yeah.
evasion. We don't know.
Or tax evasion. It's whatever nonsense. This illegal thing is. Yeah.
Is there a famous movie that could this help us figure out what this is based on? Is there a famous movie where there is either reverse 69 or tax evasion?
Do you want me to Google that? You're going to have to pick a topic to cover off on.
No. I don't want you to Google anything.
Movies
I was just
with reverse 69. Okay. Let's see. Oh, boy.
What's happened? What's happened? He's making a funny face, but he's not saying anything.
Most popular movies. Here's an IMDb. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Most popular movies and TV shows tagged with the keyword 69 sex position.
Yeah. Okay.
So it could be Eyes Wide Shut, 1999's Eyes Wide Shut.
Interesting. I would not have guessed that. Okay.
A Manhattan doctor embarks on a bizarre night-long odyssey after his wife's admission of unfulfilled longing. So that's okay. sort of, that's what, you know what? Her dad, Santa, yeah. I guess, does do that.
What does he do?
He dresses as a vicar and goes to the Tarts and Vicar party. And he's just trying to, like, on Bridget's recommendation, make his wife jealous by flirting with all the women and on this kind of like bizarre odyssey.
Yeah.
So that is a connection.
That's definitely a connection. Is there anything else in your IMDb lookup?
Some other movies that feature 69ing. Borat.
Borat. That would be awesome.
Jackass 3D.
Okay.
A lot of these, I'm actually not going to read the titles of the films on the podcast.
Okay.
Because I think, I don't know if there's like something beyond the explicit warning we could put on it, but some of these titles would require it. And that's pretty much the only mainstream ones, I would say.
Is there anything? Okay, so now just search for the tag tax evasion. And then if there's any cross-pollination, then we know we've got our thing. Like, does Borat have tax evasion?
Oh, here we go. Sorted by most popular movies and TV shows tagged with the keyword tax evasion.
Yeah.
The Untouchables.
That's like the opposite of reverse 69.
I guess.
There's a lot of touching in reverse 69, I should say.
Do you remember there was a film in 2006? It was like Will Ferrell's like, oh, I guess maybe we should put it on the list.
Yeah.
But it was called Stranger Than Fiction.
Okay. I did see that. It's actually quite a great film.
And it's like a woman is narrating his life.
Yeah.
And it's a romantic comedy, so we should watch it.
Yeah. I'd love to watch that. It's actually a great movie.
That's on here. Tax Evasion.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't remember a 69ing scene in that one. Oh, but it was reverse 69.
It's reverse 69, yeah.
Let me put that in here. Reverse 69 sex position. No results.
No results.
That can't be right.
Maybe that's not what they did. Maybe no one's dared to film it.
Well, I think we'll get to the bottom of it.
We'll get to the bottom of it. In the meantime, we should move on. Hey, you know who I thought we could bring in?
What? Oh, what?
Some old friends of ours. It's Jack and Tanner, branding consultants.
And oh, perfect.
I know that you at some point decided that they were like sexy, lewd branding consultants.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure. Maybe, you know what? Let's have Jack and Tanner prude branding consultants come in
okay.
here.
Two prude branding dudes.
Two prude branding dudes. At the 9 minute and 40 second mark, they're making fun of a guy called Mr. Fitzherbert.
Yeah. He's sort of Hugh Grant's kind of like pervy older male assistant who likes to look at women's decolletage. What do you call it? Decolletage?
Decolletage. That's yes. Yeah. And now I've learned from the motion that you did finally at the age of 40 something, what decolletage is.
I hope I'm right or else we're both just wrong about this now.
I know. We could be in real trouble.
A low neckline on a woman's dress or top.
Yeah.
Who's the fashion genius now?
Both of these guys.
Yeah. He likes looking at them.
Yes, and they say of him,
Mr. Fitzherbert, tits pervert, more like.
Yep.
Which is quite funny and a burn.
Yeah.
But I thought we, as branding consultants, we could try to help him out.
Tits pervert is a little, I guess it sort of sends a pretty clear message about who this person is, but I don't know if that's a message he wants to send.
Right, so we could try to figure out a message that he might want to send.
Yeah. Maybe he's come to us and he's like, I've been branded a tits pervert because of my name. Essentially, you know what?
Yeah.
I am honored to have you in the room for this,
yeah.
Jack, because there's no one who in my life who I've met who's better at suckifying and gratifying
yeah.
people's names. And Mr. Yeah. Fitzherbert is clearly being the victim of a suckification.
Yeah.
So now it's our turn to gratify it.
And I'll say, using my own name for folks who aren't familiar with the technical terms here, a suckification would be if you were, which nobody would, but if you were to take the name Jack Shepherd and say something like whack shit nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wouldn't. No. And a gratification would be if you were to take the name Jack Shepherd and say something like Black Leopard.
Yeah. That's pretty
cool. See how you do that? And that's how you do it. And so Mr. Fitzherbert has been suckified into Mr. Tits Pervert, which is unreasonable. And no client of ours is going to be treated that way as far as we're concerned, the prude branding consultants. I'll throw out a few thought starters here.
I'm having trouble with Tanner, but Green Ring I've gotten to peen big.
I think what you want to do is something with thing, like lean thing. Lean kind of means small, but it also means like wiry and sinewy.
Yeah. I like peen big.
We're not here to
gratify my name. We're here to gratify Mr.
Fitzherbert. And it's embarrassing. He's sitting here twiddling his thumb.
Sorry. That's just the passion we have for this.
That's the passion we have. And I should remind everybody that in 10 minutes from now, from this moment, England will be playing
three
Senegal.
Lions are taking
I will
field.
Not be podcasting. At all.
Oi, they're taking the field.
All right, let's go. How are we gratifying this guy's name?
I'm going to throw out some Herbert thought starters for you. What about this? Here's a start.
Thick Sherbert.
Okay, that's great. Thick Sherbert is actually maybe where we're going to land, because that sounds lovely, doesn't it? That sounds lovely.
Mm, yum, yum.
Mm, a lovely thick sherbet.
I would
that
take a
sounds
thick sherbet.
Great. Okay, well, I got a couple other possibilities.
Okay.
What about Hits Serpent?
Ooh, that's a guy I would want like leading the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, we're
if
going
I'm walking
on a,
into a jungle.
Yeah, we're going on a big exploration expedition to find the lost gold. Who should we bring? Well, I know a guy called Mr. Hits Serpent.
Let's put him in the front with the machete.
Yes. And the other one, let me pitch this to you, Mr. Fitzherbert, because I think you, at first you're not going to get where I'm going, but when I explain it, you might like it even better than Hits Serpent and Thick Sherbert. What about Mr. Fitzherbert? I know. It sounds like I just said your name again. In a way, I did. But I meant it in the sense of fitting the famous 16th century metaphysical poet, George Herbert.
Oh.
In that you have the same mind and sensibility that that great man himself had.
Wow.
Fitz Herbert. Oh, his prose is fitting with that of famous metaphysical poet, George Herbert. What do you think about that? That rolls off the tongue.
Pretty good.
Or we could just go with Thick Sherbert. That's fine.
Thick Sherbert it is.
Yes. And we've got 8 minutes left before England plays
Senegal.
That's
just enough time to do the Salman Rushdie check.
Okay. I think we actually already did that one up top. It's so hard to do because we do it every single week.
It's
hard to remember when we've
done
it. Anything else you want to talk about?
How do you answer the phone? 28 minute, 25 second mark. Bridget Jones answers the phone.
Bridget Jones, wanton sex goddess with a very bad man between her thighs.
Yes.
So I thought maybe we could just sort of find our signature phone answered too in the next few minutes before we have to go.
Yeah, and it's her mum. It's her mum on the phone, isn't it?
Mum. Hi.
Yeah. So if you were the wanton god of something, what would it be? And what's between your thighs?
Can I be the wanton god of new criticism since we've been talking about it so much?
Yeah.
And can I say with a copy of I.A. Richards' Practical Criticism between his thighs?
And I guess I'll be the wanton reverse 69 god.
Okay, so you're pretty similar. And unfortunately, you've really walked into a trap here because I actually don't know what's between your thighs with a reverse 69. It's something and it's someone something, but I don't know what it is because it's
too complicated.
Well, it
depends if you're playing by British rules or American rules.
Yes, and that's where the confusion comes from.
Because if you're playing with British rules, you're going to need a lot of equipment, you know?
Yeah.
And Americans just don't have time for that. So we've really stripped it back to just kind of the basics.
Yeah.
But we'll get more into, you know, I don't want to bore anyone with the details of the minutiae of the reverse 69ing.
Okay. So you answer the phone. We can just bleep it. So ring, ring.
Oh, I would say yes. Hello, Tanner Green Ring. Wanton reverse 69 god with a very, complicated setup.
Yeah.
Between his thighs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And hello, it's Jack Shepherd, wanton god of new critical theory, with a dusty tome of I.A. Richards' practical criticism between
I could see Jack's eyes light up when he said that. He was like, you could see it. He's like, should I do that? Should I answer the phone? Jack Shepherd, wanton new criticism god.
Yeah.
And what do you have between your thighs?
A dusty tome of I.A. Richards' practical criticism.
Wow. Really paints a picture, an accurate picture of you.
And I know what you're thinking, but no, I wouldn't have a copy of F.R. Leavis' famous lecture, The Two Cultures, between my legs, because it's extremely cruel to C.P. Snow, and I don't appreciate the language he used about him.
Yeah, or when he just beat him into a fucking jelly.
Yeah, that was fucked up, too.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
I loved this movie, and it was, I don't think it was just airplane feelings.
It's really fun. It's a super fun movie. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Everybody should watch it. It's good. The book is good, too.
Should we just do Stranger Than Fiction next week?
Yeah, why the fuck not? Yeah, let's cut to the chase. Yeah, England is playing Senegal in exactly 4 minutes, so we can just cut to the chase. We'll do Stranger Than Fiction next week. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I very much enjoyed this conversation. No whammies. No mistakes. Not a single mistake. Oh, fuck, we forgot the Salman Rushdie check.
Salman Rushdie, hello.
Hi.
The question is, what does truth mean?
You may or may not know that the internet is full of completely nonsensical websites.
Okay, he was in this one.
He's in this one. Salman Rushdie check. He's in this one.
Well, maybe we'll do something for the Patreon and kind of get into like... Yeah, no. Sorry, we covered it.
We did. Okay, we covered it. Okay, I thought that was last week. Okay, no, we got it. We did it. Okay. Guess what? It's time to go. Tanner, thank you for bearing with us. Baby Nation, thank you so much for bearing with us. Also, we do love and kiss you all the time and every day. Everybody, please remember to subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We are incredibly grateful for the people who have done that. It helps to support our show and keep us going.
You know what? It's a really good show, too. It's fun.
It's good. And it's fun. And we would love to have you in there if you've been thinking about it, but haven't had the time to do it. It's just $5 a month, and it helps us to do our thing. Patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Join the Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And recommend the show to a friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
This week we watched a movie. The movie we watched was called Bridget Jones's Diary. It's good. It's fun. It's a little bit dated in some ways, but you're grown-ups. You can handle it.
Yeah, it's fine.
And it's really funny. And Renee Zellweger is so charming in it. And guess what? Hugh Grant, very handsome. We didn't figure out what this is based on. I think it's Borat.
Must be Borat. That was that's the closest we got. So
yeah,
in the great tradition of Fire Island, they made Bridget Jones' Diary based on Borat.
Yeah, and I can't think of a better thing for this great movie to be based on.
Yeah,
loosely based on.
I think Salman Rushdie was in Borat too. So that
that's the connection. Okay, that's what the reference is.
Yeah, yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepherd.
My name's Tanner Greenring.
And I didn't have time to think of an outro, so I will just say, I hope you find your Darcy ever after. Sorry, that's all I have. We might be childhood friends.